minutes, but just now I'm going to read to you from the Bible. I'm going to read to you a really important psalm. It's Psalm 65, and you'll be able to see it, boys and girls, up on the screen there. Psalm number 65, and I'm going to read it, and then we're going to talk about our next thing here. Psalm number 65, it's a psalm of David, and it's a song, and it's going to remind us, remind you, boys and girls, and remind the grown-ups of how we can give God thanks for all the spiritual things he's given to us and all the physical things he's given to us, which helps us ground what we're doing today as we give God thanks for everything. So, praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We're filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the furthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas and the roaring of their waves and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. For so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow, and the hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. That's Psalm number 65, and we thank God for that. And we're going to come back to Psalm 65 in a couple of minutes. If you have your Bibles with you today, please do turn in them to Psalm number 65. For a couple of moments this morning, we're going to examine what Psalm 65 actually has to say to us. It's a really important psalm, and it's going to tell us not simply about the spiritual things God has given to us, but the practical things as well. Now, while the grown-ups are trying to find Psalm 65 in their Bibles, I wonder if the boys and girls can put up your hands, if you can tell me, does milk come from Tesco, or does it come from a cow? Hands up if you think milk comes from Tesco. Okay, one or two of you. Hands up if you think milk comes from a cow. Okay, most of you. I'm very impressed. I'm hopeful that we're going to have a slide up just now that's going to come on in a couple of seconds. And in this slide, that's it. Okay. We've got four things here. Those of you who watch Have I Good News For You will understand this, and you know which is the odd one out. So, if we go around here, we see a farmer with some pigs, and then we see a pig, and then we see some bacon, and then we see some random 23-year-old. So, we're going to ask ourselves, which is the odd one out? Does any of you know which one might be the odd one out? Any of the boys and girls want to guess? You want to guess, Charlotte? Say again. The bacon, well, that's a good guess. Might be. Try another guess. And somebody else, yes? The random 23-year-old. Do you think she's the odd one out?
Yeah.
Do other people, do you think she's the odd one out? Yeah, okay. Actually, you're correct. She is the odd one out. And you see, Alistair, why do you have a random 23-year-old up there? Well, do you know, boys and girls, that one in three teenagers and early 20s, from 16 to 23, do you know that one in three random 23-year-olds do not know that bacon comes from pigs? They don't. It makes you wonder what they're getting taught in school, but they don't know that bacon comes from pigs. So if you're between that age group of 16 to 23 today, we're enlightening you that bacon actually does come from pigs. And we've already made clear that milk comes from cows, and so we realize that all that we have to eat doesn't just simply come from Tesco or from Asda or from Morrison's or whatever else you shop, but it actually, behind the shop, there's all these different farms and all these different places that are making things, but behind that, there is a God who has provided all the animals, a God has provided all the grain, all the ingredients to make the food that we're able to eat. And in this part of the Bible that I just read, it reminds us about the God who made all these things so that there could be farmers looking after animals and looking after the crops, and so that there could be people who could take the bacon and take the potatoes and make whatever else they want to make, and that we could then eat it. Behind all of these different steps is God, the God who is described in this psalm. And on our next slide, which is our final slide for today, on our next slide, we see that Psalm 65 reminds us that God provides for our spiritual things because he's given to us his Son to make us right, but he also provides for the physical things, the things that we need to eat, the clothes that we wear, the houses that we live in. And so it's right for us to stop and to give God thanks for all that he has done for us and to recognize who he is. And so in recognizing who he is, we've got three different bits, and I'm just going to give a couple of minutes in each one of these, and then we'll be finished, boys and girls. You've done really well. You're almost ready to be set free for the biscuits and sweets and whatever else, but this is a little bit longer to go, okay? So just hang in there. And any grown-ups are thinking you need to hang in there too, that you won't be that much longer. So we see three things in this psalm. The first thing we see is that this psalm tells us about a God who welcomes people. And it says that this is a God who brings near, or brings people near to his courts. This is a God who allows people to come to him. Now, if somebody asked you on the way out today, where were you? And you said, I was in church today. Really? What were you doing in church today? Why on earth did you go to church? Were you on your own? No, actually, there's 400 other people there. But why were you there? Well, this psalm gives you a great answer. Because this psalm tells us at the beginning of this, gives us three reasons that we can praise God. First of all, we praise God because he hears prayers, he forgives sin, and he welcomes people to himself. So when we pray, it's not that we're praying to the ceiling, God is listening. That God has done something to deal with all of the wrong things, think of what we spoke of earlier, and that God welcomes people to himself. And in the opening four verses of this psalm, it reminds us of the God who answers prayer, the God who forgives, and the God who brings near to him. And these are three great reasons for coming to worship God. But the thing is, in these opening verses, it tells us about that worship being based in one place. And it's called in Psalm 65, Zion, or Jerusalem, and it's thinking of the place where God's people would come together and meet with God. Now, some of you in here may think this is an architecturally beautiful building. Some may not. We may think of places, I understand, that was a big yawn, but we can think of St. Paul's Cathedral in London with its the beauty and how ornate it is. We can think of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome as some of the great places where God is worshipped. But if you lived in the time of this psalm was written, there was nothing and nowhere to compare with the glory of the temple in Jerusalem. And it wasn't just a building, but it was a building that God had promised to meet his people in. And so it was so special for those who were Jews, and the Old Testament people were Jews. But the thing is, this says that all people will come near. It tells us in verse 5 that the hope of all the ends of the earth, for people who go all over the world, if they will look to this God, they will be welcomed. You say, but how? How can God welcome someone like me who's messed up, not simply in the past, but even today itself? How can God welcome somebody like me? And it's answered for us here, because it tells us that God will forgive our sins. In verse 3, and you can check this when you go home, in verse 3, after the word forgave, there's a little notation, a little A, and it takes you down to the bottom of the page, and it says that God, that our sins will be atoned for. In other words, that God, who hates looking at our sin and turns his face away because it's so offensive, that God will provide something to cover that sin. And in the Old Testament, it all points forward in every one of the sacrifices to the last great sacrifice, where the blood of Jesus on the cross would cover the sins of God's people. And so that in that sense, they were, how did somebody put it, that they were operationally almost invisible in that sense, because they're covered. And because our sin is covered from God's eyes, we can then be accepted. If you're struggling to get this concept in your head, imagine grown-ups here, wee ones, close your eyes, ears. Just think of the worst sight you've ever seen. And you just want to look away from it. That's God looking at my sin and your sin. And it has to be covered over. And the only way that God would forgive us is that God provided a way for that sin to be covered over, and it's found at the cross. And because our sin is covered over, there's a God who welcomes us. And so therefore, in here today, with all the variety of different personalities that are represented, with all the different backgrounds, stages of life, experience, there's none of you that's excluded from this welcome to God. None of you can say, well, listen, because of who I am or what I've done, if you come conscious of your need of God to forgive you and throwing yourself on God's mercy, then you will be welcomed. And not simply welcomed into the presence of God, but into the family of God and with all the blessings that come from that, you will be welcomed. So let me ask you today, have you been welcomed by God? Because that's what the gospel offers you, a welcome. The psalm tells us also in the second part that this is a God of power, that this is a God who's in control, that this is a God who not only deals with our spiritual needs by forgiving us and bringing us close to him, but this is a God of real power. And it communicates that power to us when it speaks of God having awesome and righteous deeds, that he's the one who formed the mountains, he stilled the seas, all the various different parts of this world that we just could not put in place, God did. You know, in our generation, probably more than any generation in history, we think we can play God, can't we? We try and decide who lives and dies even. We try and decide, you know, when people die, how people die. And we want to play God. We don't want any God to be ruling our lives. We want to do things our way, and we want to do it in our time. We think we're God. But how many of us in here have ever created a mountain? And I'm not talking about washing here for any of the parents. We're not talking about mountains. We're talking genuine mountains. None of you have. No, I've not done it either. Can any of you go out in a wild day? They're telling us it's going to be stormy tomorrow. Are you going to go out in a wild day and somehow still the storm? Are you going to, because of the innate power that is at your disposal, are you going to be able to somehow deal with the created world in a way that puts it under your control? No, because you're not God. Neither am I. When we appreciate who God is, then truly that sense of awe is present. I know many of you, like myself, probably have been frightened over the years in various storms. If you're out in the middle of a really wild winter storm and you're having to drive somewhere, cars getting buffeted all over the place, the rain is pounding so much that you can barely see, the wipers are in full, and you realize that this is not a good position to be in. I am miles away from safety. This is not good. You realize how small you are. And that's through this created world. But you see, the created world is not the biggest entity that we have to deal with. It's the one who made the created world is God. God who has such power. So let's not think today that being welcomed by God, as we spoke of at the start of this psalm, is somehow a trivial thing. This is being welcomed by the power that exists. And his power is matched by his knowledge, a total knowledge of you and of me. His power is matched by his presence. You can never escape him. Not now, not forever. Because this is a God who's unlike anybody else. Do you know this God of power? If you're wise, then you will learn about this God of power. And then recognize the reality of your need to know his welcome. But the third stage of this psalm, and it brings us and it lands us in with this whole theme of thanksgiving again. If we can thank God for how he's cleaned up the mess, if we can thank God for how he has made things right for us spiritually, it reminds us that we have to thank God for the way in which he provides for the land. Verse 9 onwards, you care for the land and you water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain and so on. Many of us came today to this church when it was raining. And it's a mild inconvenience for us, especially if you spent a bit of while getting your hairdo just the way it should be. It's a mild inconvenience. We moan about the rain, and yet the rain is just so absolutely vital for us, isn't it? If we didn't have the rain, then we'd be in a situation like South Sudan is today. South Sudan is because of war and also because of drought, it's experiencing a famine. We haven't had that, and we don't have that today. It's highly unlikely that any of us in here will go without food today. If you do, it's probably at your own choice to somehow lose some weight. But that in itself tells us that we've had plenty, because God has given to us plenty. And the God here who provides a way for us to come into his presence, even though he is powerful and awesome, and in comparison to his magnificence, we are insignificant, he is the God whom we need to recognize gives us everything. He gives us everything. And you say, well, listen, I have my house and I have my car and I have my clothes and I have my possessions because I have worked hard. It's God who's given you everything. God has given you your mind. God has given you your body and the strength to be able to work in order to earn. God has provided for you the environment in which that there's an opportunity for you to gain employment and to therefore then provide for your family. God has provided for you everything that you have, all of our clothes, all of our food, all of our possessions, all of our family, all of our friends, it all comes from God. And however much our society wants to try and erase God from our conscience, we can't, because everything we have comes from him. And today we thank him. We should thank him every day, but especially today we thank him. The kids were learning through this week about how to thank God. We thank God for our food, even as we pray before it, as we give say a grace. We thank God as we live our lives. We thank God because he's the one who provides for us on a practical, physical level and on a spiritual level, taking the mess, making us right, welcoming us in, and giving us joy and blessing, the like of which we could never, ever imagine. This is the God that we worship. This is the God that has brought you here today. You may think it's friends or family that have brought you here today. It's not. Ultimately, it's God, because he wants you to encounter him in a personal, profound, and powerful way that you would know his transformation. Amen.